This is a Rabble Podcast Network show. New voices in your head. It's Radio Free Radio.
You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 100.5 FM.
Vancouver is one of the most desirable cities to live in the world, and yet the women in this city are still struggling for equality. Vancouver's Battered Women's Support Center takes in more than 100 women each month. Aboriginal women in particular are vulnerable to violence and poverty, as are immigrant women. A woman working in Vancouver earns, on average, 30% less than her male counterpart. Ellen Woodsworth is a former city councillor and the chair of Women Transforming Cities, and she joins me in the studio to tell us why gender equality is an important issue in this month's municipal election. Hello, Ellen.
Hi.
First of all, can you tell us about how Women Transforming Cities came about?
Women Transforming Cities came from a conference I was at, the World Urban Forum, and I was presenting for the Federation of Canadian Municipalities a document called Cities Tailored to Women, and also a document from the Women in Cities International Femme Ville, the Safer Cities Audit. And I was talking to some of the women from other municipalities around the world, and I realized I should come back to Canada and get something going here. So finally we were able to set up a Women's Advisory Council at the City of Vancouver, and I came to them with an idea of setting up an organization or setting up a subcommittee, the Women's Advisory Committee, to design an ideal city for women and girls. And then that evolved into Women Transforming Cities, which was launched in the council chambers about 3 years ago.
How are you making gender equality an election issue this year?
This year we've launched the Hot Pink Paper campaign, and all the details are on our website, womentransformingcities.org. And we worked with the partners that we've been hosting cafes with. We've hosted over 21 cafes, almost one a month for the past 2.5 years. And these are 11 key issues that have emerged from those cafes. So we drew together all the partners and discussed what those issues were and what some recommendations that we would like to make to parties, mayors, and candidates in the municipal election. And we are asking the parties, the mayors, and the candidates to send us an email to say whether they support or don't support these particular issues. And those names will go up on our website on November the 10th.
Do women have enough representation in City Hall?
Across Canada, 16% of mayors are women and 26% of councillors are women. Vancouver has always had white men representing the city as mayors. And in the council chambers, it seems to go from 2002, it was two women, and then it was four women, and now it's four women. Once there were five women in the council offices. So it's really the representation electorally, and that's just the municipal level, it's just as bad at the provincial and federal levels, is very low for women. So that's one of the 11 issues is electoral reform and getting away from the at-large system where you have to be part of a large party that has a lot of money to actually get elected. We believe there should be some kind of award proportional representation system so that people could run as individuals from neighborhoods where they're known for all their work, both paid and unpaid.
The campaign demands gender equality, particularly focusing on the needs of Aboriginal and other minority women. Childcare services and ending violence against women, and those are pretty straightforward. But what about housing? Why does that need a gender lens?
What we've done is put an intersectional or equity lens on all city aspects of life. What we say is that women in cities work for cities, but cities aren't working for women and girls. So the first issue is putting that intersectional lens on budgets or housing or greenest city strategy or transit. Housing is particularly important for women because women earn 68 cents to the dollar a man earns. Young women are earning, of course, less than that. They can't find jobs. if they're in a battered relationship, they need to stay in it because they can't afford to find other housing. And housing costs are astronomical. And it's usually the women who are taking care of the kids. And we talk in BC about the fact that 1 out of 6 kids are poor. Well, kids are not poor. It's their parents and often their mom who are poor. So housing is a critical issue for women. And the design of housing is critical. Is there childcare built into that housing complex? Is the kitchen designed to work well for women? And is there enough space for them, for their kids? So there's all kinds of issues. And then, of course, almost 50% of single elderly women live below the poverty line, so are living on earnings under $19,000. So critical issue for a lot of different groups of women.
I heard you mention transit in there. What about transit?
Well, the UBC Sexual Assault Center brought us the attention to the fact that women are getting assaulted not only on buses, but, well, they're waiting for a bus, and that the costs of public transit is very high, and yet women can't afford cars, so they are, using public transit. The Bus Riders Union did a study and discovered that 80% of users in the evening are women. So they're immigrant women, refugee women who are cleaning the buildings. There's young women working in the bars that are coming out of that work late. So, and mothers who want to take 2 or 3 kids somewhere in the city, or parents, are finding it prohibitively expensive and they don't have any other options.
And environmental policies, are they also included in the campaign?
Absolutely. Environment's a key issue. When the Greenest City Task Force met, I said that they should put an intersectional equity lens on the task force, because what I said is that women make 80% of the business decisions in the home. They're deciding which fridge or stove to purchase, whether it's environmentally friendly or not. They're doing the recycling. They're educating the kids. They're deciding whether to drive the kids somewhere or take a bike. So these are critical component parts of any strategy that you're going to roll out. In fact, what I learned was that the environmental movement in Japan was stopped in its tracks because the housewives said, we're not going to do the recycling. We have enough unpaid work as it is. And then the other thing I learned is after the tsunami in Fukushima, women died because they were invisible. So women were in the homes taking care of the kids and taking care of the seniors, but they were invisible. So they got together and there was a huge uprising, and they got the governor of Chiba Prefecture, the province of Chiba, to work with them to demand that there be women at the table in the reconstruction of Fukushima, to design Fukushima in a way that would work for women and children. And so in emergency preparedness, they would know to look for women. Vancouver still doesn't have a gender lens on our emergency preparedness strategy.
How have the candidates reacted to the Hot Pink Paper campaign?
Well, the Hot Pink Paper is a hard document. It's a pink document, and it's also online with a background paper attached to each issue explaining why that issue was chosen and giving reference to people who've done work in that area. But we dress in pink. We did a flash mob to launch it at City Hall and gave all the councillors and the mayor the documents. And we go to all candidates' meetings and raise these issues, specifically asking all the candidates from all the parties whether they will support these issues and their recommendations for each issue. And so far, all the parties have said they support it in general, and now we're starting to get feedback from individual candidates saying we support this in this issue. So but they have to get the parties and the candidates have to get their names into us by November 10th.
And what work have you got planned after the election?
Well, after the election, we will know who won the election, and then we will be following up with those candidates to say, you committed to do this, this, and this, and we want to know when you're going to do it, and we want to make sure that you work with women's organizations to get the strategy that really does work for women and girls in the city. And we are working in a coalition with five other cities across Canada on an equity and inclusion strategy how-to guide for municipalities that we'll hope to launch at the Federation of Canadian Municipalities Conference in Edmonton next spring. We're also part of a very large coalition of women and girls and allies organizations to tackle some of the federal issues that will be emerging over the next few months.
Yeah, this should be rolled out at every municipality, I'm sure.
Yes, we've done our cafes in other municipalities in the Lower Mainland, and we are certainly sending it out across the country and getting very positive response. And some people are picking up on these issues and using them, and we will continue to work on these issues.
Great. Well, thanks very much for coming down to the studio this morning, Ellen.
A pleasure. Take a look at our website, womentransformingcities.org.
I've been speaking with Ellen Woodsworth, the chair of Women Transforming Cities and a former city councillor. You can read about the Hot Pink Paper campaign and see which candidates are supporting it at womentransformingcities.org.